Chumbadora!
Here comes a lightning bolt!
Charger fans are witnesses to history!
This is the Lightning Round Podcast with your hosts, Garrett Sisti and Jamie Hoyle.
Go Chargers, go!
Welcome, everybody, to the Lightning Round Podcast. I am at Garrett Sisti. Jamie, of course, at Lightning underscore round. And today, for our series, we're going to go around the AFC West and preview the teams within the Chargers division and how they did this offseason. We'll talk about departures, additions, any coaching changes, all that. And today, we are previewing the Las Vegas Raiders. Before we get right to that, let's give some shout-outs to some Patreon members. Our new ones, and the first one here is Edward Ball Domini. Thank you so much.
Sergio, thank you, Sergio.
Juan Maldonado.
Kwame Boateng.
Brandon Rich.
Ozzy.
Cameron Clark.
Ryan Starcher.
Spencer Schmidt and Frederick Jorgensen. Thank you all so much for joining the Patreon. Love seeing everybody in the Discord. And everywhere else, it's been amazing to talk with everybody. It just keeps getting better each week. I know we talk about that every week we do this podcast, but it really has become a real safe haven for all of these Charger fans and kind of get off the toxicity of Twitter a little bit. It's been real nice.
Yeah, it's been really nice. Just fun, open conversations about the Chargers. Plenty of disagreements. It's not like we're all sharing the same opinion. We're all discussing and debating and just enjoying it, really enjoying getting to know everybody and chatting with everybody. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So, and totally agree. It has been a lot of fun. Let's go ahead and move on to the Raiders. We already previewed the Chargers and all their additions and everything this offseason, did a win-loss prediction on our last podcast. So we're going to go around the AFC West. This week will be the Raiders. We'll preview the Chiefs and Broncos coming up here soon. So first off, before we get into the player changes, let's talk about the coaches. Obviously, there is a brand new coach in town. It is the former Patriots assistant offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of how you evaluate their offseason really has to do with how you feel about Josh McDaniels. There are people who are still convinced he's a genius. I'm sure there are lots of Raiders fans who feel like they signed Bill Belichick Jr. and they're going to turn into Patriots West and they're going to make a 20-year run with Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. And then there are people who feel like Josh McDaniels is still the same guy he was in Denver and the same guy who bailed on the Colts job. And probably plenty of people, you know, somewhere in the middle. So I kind of feel like you kind of have to listen to people when they tell you who they are, and you kind of have to trust them when they show you who they are over and over again. And, you know, Josh McDaniels was a guy who had all kinds of personality conflicts when he was in Denver, alienated his quarterback, alienated a lot of his players. He was 33 years old at the time. Commented later that he was 33 and didn't understand people, didn't understand how to relate to people, and was treating his players like children. Kind of came in like he was Bill Belichick Jr., like he was the genius and he was going to make everything he touched turn to gold. And that didn't work. And I think, you know, if you look at the way he built his coaching staff, his offensive coaching staff is basically a bunch of yes men. He hired a bunch of guys who work for him in New England for the most part, guys who have been around the league for a little bit, but haven't had any real noteworthy success. And he's going to be running the offense. He's going to be the one making the calls. And then they obviously added Patrick Graham as their defensive coordinator. So for me, I feel like I'm kind of on a wait and see mentality with Josh McDaniels. I don't think this is a guy who has proven that he's anything other than what we saw in Denver and when he bailed on the Colts. I think he's got a massive ego. I know he's had some success kind of molding and shifting the Patriots offense over the years to fit the players he had. But he did have Tom Brady for most of those years. So I don't think we know what to expect from these guys right now. And I think they're going to have some personality issues with Josh McDaniels. I think some of the veterans who were in there are going to have some issues with him. And I think it might take a while for them to gel. And I think that may not be as easy to put together an offense around Derek Carr as he thinks. So I think they're going to have some offensive struggles early. I think they're going to have some issues with Josh McDaniels. I don't think there's a whole lot of experience on that offensive staff. The one thing he did do that was smart was he hired Patrick Graham to be his defensive coordinator. Mm. Graham is a very solid defensive coordinator, and I'm sure we'll get into that here in a minute, but that it seems like McDaniels is going to run the offense and Graham is going to run the defense. And that's basically what we're looking at with the Raiders.
Yeah. So Josh McDaniels gets a second chance here, and it's hard to gauge exactly how he's going to be as a head coach because it went so bad the first time. Usually when a coach gets a second chance, it goes a little bit better than the first time. And I'm sure McDaniels learned a lot since his last time, but he got fired halfway through his second season in Denver. And then he took a Colts job and then left them high and dry and went back on his word and went back to the Patriots, which is awful. The fact that he's even getting another head coaching job is probably pretty questionable. I know there's been some time between that, but still, I don't know how you hire a guy and trust him that you're going to be able to keep him long-term when he spurred Denver, he spurred Indianapolis, and he hasn't proved that he's much more than a really, really good offensive coordinator. So there's a lot to question here in Josh McDaniels. You'd think that he'd be better in his second season. But like Jamie mentioned, they hired a new offensive coordinator, obviously, new defensive coordinator, and a lot of Patriots ties. The offensive coordinator, Mick Lombardi, it's his first time being an offensive coordinator. He had multiple assistant jobs. He didn't really move up the ranks a ton, except this last season where he was a wide receivers coach, and that's as high as he got up a staff for the Patriots last year. So this seems like a guy that's just kind of going to fill that offensive coordinator role while McDaniels takes the reins there on offense and could possibly be the fall guy if the Raiders offense tanks.
Yeah. I mean, Mick Lombardi, he's a guy, like you mentioned, he's been a wide receiver coach. He's been an assistant quarterbacks coach, had some experience as an assistant quarterbacks coach and an offensive assistant with the Jets. Nothing you can really point to from success standpoint with the teams that he's been with that you can say, yeah, that's him. That's what he did.
Right.
And I feel like this is, you know, kind of like the Ronaldo Hill hire at defensive coordinator last year mm-hmm. for Brandon Staley. He's bringing over somebody who he's familiar with, who's going to do what he tells him to do. He being McDaniels, and Lombardi probably isn't going to have a whole lot of say in what's going on in the offense. This is going to be the Josh McDaniels show all the way. That's why they hired mm-hmm. him, because he is the offensive guru. And, you know, you can say the same thing about their quarterbacks coach, Bo Hardigree, same kind of background. You know, he was an offensive quality control coach for the Broncos, offensive assistant for the Bears in 2015. He was a QB coach for the Dolphins from 2016 to 2018, where he had obviously all kinds of wonderful success with standouts like Ryan Tannehill and Jay Cutler. So middle of the road quarterbacks, guys that did not perform well. He bounced around a little bit. He's been an offensive assistant, and he was quarterbacks coach for the Jets the Patriots last year, excuse me. So not a whole lot of experience on this staff, not a whole lot of guys on the offensive side who are going to tell Josh McDaniels no. This is his show. He's going to be calling the plays, and everybody else is just there to make him look good, basically.
Yeah. And if it all works out, that's great. But, you know, if it doesn't work out, there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to have to be there holding the water afterwards, you know, who are going to take a lot of this blame if it doesn't work out early on. So let's talk about the DC. Yeah, you talked about Patrick Graham a little bit. Raiders, of course, got rid of Gus Bradley. Graham has Patriots ties, of course, but as a DC, he was with the Dolphins as their defensive coordinator in 2019. These last two past seasons, he was the New York Giants defensive coordinator. In fact, Brian Daboll was going to retain Graham in New York, but apparently he was too upset with that organization to come back. I don't really blame him, but some of the rumors were that he actually interviewed for that head coaching job, and he didn't like how it went, and so he ended up just leaving and took the Raiders job. So a really good defensive coordinator coach so far, kind of an up and coming defensive coordinator. I know, you know, you hear the Giants and you think bad, but the Giants defense was actually pretty good. It was like the lone bright spot of that organization last 2 years. So kind of an up and coming Giants defensive coordinator, not, you know, somebody that's going to really move the needle as a big name, but a guy that's a solid defensive coordinator coming over to the Raiders.
Yeah. And if you want to talk scheme, you know, he runs a scheme that's very similar to what Brandon Staley runs for the Chargers. It's a common two high shell. They rely on four defensive linemen to get to the quarterback. Not a whole lot of blitzing. A lot of zone coverages. Going to see probably a lot of their linebackers on the field. at being asked to cover quite a bit. I think, you know, one of the things that they did, and we'll get into the free agency and the draft here pretty soon, but it seems like they really focused on beefing up the interior of their defensive line in particular, trying to get interior pressure, trying to increase the chances of getting to the quarterback with just four rushers. And I think they did a pretty decent job of that. So nothing too complicated. They will try to disguise some coverages. I think they're lacking some speed on the back end. Their secondary wasn't great last year. They lost Brandon Faison. They lost
Casey Hayward.
And they brought in Rock Ya-Sin. They brought in a couple other guys to help, you know, compete for time at corner with Trayvon Mullen. They do have a playmaker in the back end in Trayvon Mooring, but I think this is a group that the second and third levels, they could have done more to address, particularly in a pass-heavy league. And I think they're going to have some struggles in coverage with this group, much like they did last year. They're shifting to a new system. They're going to be going from that cover three to more of a cover two. And I think there's going to be some growing pains there.
So let's get into it. So you mentioned a couple of them. Let's talk about some of the departures from the Raiders. You mentioned Casey Hayward. He went to the Falcons. Brandon Faison, who we know, went to the Colts as Charger fans, not personally. They also lost Marcus Mariota, who went to the Falcons. Not a big deal. They've got Derek Carr. But the big one was the trade. Yannick Ngakoue, who went to the Colts, who they got for Rock Ya-Sin. So they no longer have Ngakoue. They lost their best corner in Casey Hayward, who still had a really, really solid past season, even in his old age. Brandon Faison, who ended up playing pretty well against the Chargers, leaves too, and now they've got some holes in the secondary.
Yeah, they have some holes in the secondary, which they tried to address. They do have Trayvon Mullen, who only played 5 games last year. You got to think they're going to be looking for some of the guys they brought in to push him for playing time. We mentioned they traded for Rock Ya-Sin.
Yep.
They signed Anthony Averett from Baltimore. Somebody who was primarily a backup in his time there, but ascended to a starting role last year, played around 90% of the snaps on defense for Baltimore last year, got his first 3 career picks. He's a guy who I'm sure they're hoping will ascend into a bigger role. But this is a secondary that I think lacks a lot of speed and lacks playmaking, particularly on the outside. And they're going to be kind of mixing and matching, trying to fit guys into that system. And it might take them a year or two to get the right guys in place. I'm not sure they have that right now. But one of the things they did, you know, I mentioned they added a lot to their interior defensive line. They went out and they signed Bilal Nichols. They drafted Neil Farrell. They drafted Matthew Butler. There was obviously
Vernon Butler.
I'm sorry, what?
Vernon Butler.
Vernon Butler. Yes, yep. I blanked on his name. They also signed Vernon Butler. So really, a concerted effort to add depth and playmaking ability to the interior defensive line, both as run stuffers and from a pass rush perspective, which, as I mentioned, they're trying to get to the quarterback with just 4. So having a deep rotation is something that's going to help them. That's something that the Chargers probably should have done a year sooner, or at least started doing a year sooner. And they're just getting to it this year. So good job kind of rebuilding the interior of the defensive line there, which should help the secondary. Obviously, they also added Chandler Jones in free agency, somebody who had 10.5 sacks last year. He's a guy who was, I think, 16th in the league in pressures, with 16 total pressures last year, had 4 sacks in the season opener, ended the season with 2.5 sacks across his last 6 games. So there's some questions about how much he has left in the tank. Can he be that every down guy right now? But you know, he'll be at least a good foil to Max Crosby, who had a great year last year. Mm-hmm. And if the guys inside step up, it should help take some pressure off him and help him get to the quarterback a little bit more. So solid front 4 there for the Raiders for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The big offseason addition was, especially on the defensive side of the ball, with Chandler Jones. He's going to take over for Yannick Ngakoue, who got traded. So they go from a good pass rusher to a better pass rusher opposite Max Crosby. Like Jamie mentioned, they got a lot of depth inside. Bilal Nichols, Vernon Butler. We loved Neil Farrell. We were talking about him in the 3rd, 4th round in our mocks. And Matthew Butler was a guy we liked too. So they got some good pieces in the draft, getting Neil Farrell and Matthew Butler. Last season, they had Solomon Thomas and Darius Filon. So they got some upgrades there from a year ago. And the secondary is a young bunch. Rocky Sin came over in the trade. Jamie mentioned Nate Hobbs, Trayvon Mullen. And then on the back end, it's Trayvon Morig and Jonathan Abram. So it seems like the Raiders secondary is young, and they added some vets to the D line. And then also to the linebacker group, they picked up Jayon Brown to start next to Denzel Perryman. So you got a secondary full of young guys who are kind of looking to hope ascend in the place of Casey Hayward and Brandon Faison, who left in the free agency. So they're kind of young on the back end. They're getting more depth on the inside. They got some good depth on the outside from adding Chandler Jones. And then they get another linebacker in Brown, who was a linebacker, was one of their weakest spots last year. And they've got Brown and Perryman now to man the middle in the linebacker group.
Yeah, I think there are still going to be some opportunities to make some plays against the second and third levels of that defense for sure.
No doubt.
A lot is going to depend on how Jones and Crosby do getting to the quarterback outside and how that interior pressure does with Bilal Nichols. I'm not a big fan of their linebacking core. I know they added to it. Brown is a guy who we suggested the Chargers sign on kind of a lottery ticket kind of an approach on a one-year deal. That's what he wound up getting, I think, with the Raiders. He's a guy who definitely is a great athlete. He can fly around, has played at a high level in the past, but he's been on a 3 or 4 year downswing at this point. He has not been playing very well for the last few years. So they're hoping for kind of a resurgence behind an improved defensive line. I think there's still going to be lots of opportunities to make plays against that defense. It's just going to really depend on how much pressure the interior of the defensive line can take off of the edge guys and free them up to get to the quarterback, and how quickly they get there, because I think that secondary is going to have some issues.
Yeah, this was a team that was starting Will Compton last year. So while they got better, it's not like they got worlds better by adding Brown. Neither guy can really cover and run in Perryman and Brown, and this is a very young, vulnerable secondary. Rockiston's still a question mark with that high draft pick that Indianapolis spent on him. Not really playing up to that standard yet, but a lot of question marks in the secondary. You can definitely pick on the second and third level again in this Raiders defense, but it's going to come down to the outside and that defensive line for the Raiders and their defense. That's what it's going to come down to in 2022. So let's talk about offense. And of course, we can't say much until we talk about this big trade, trading for Davante Adams, which they spent this year's first and second on to get him.
Yeah, so they kind of remade their wide receiving core this year. Obviously, they traded for Davante Adams. Depending on who you talk to, wide receiver one, wide receiver two in the league. Definitely a fantastic playmaker, somebody who's going to make them better, somebody who already has a connection with Derek Carr from college at Fresno State. So they have some familiarity there, and I think they still work together in the offseason. So plenty of familiarity. They didn't get a whole lot faster or more explosive, which kind of surprised me. I thought they'd add some speed. The one real speed guy they had was Bryan Edwards, and they traded him to the Falcons for basically nothing. They did go out and replace him with Keelan Cole, somebody that Garrett liked in free agency on a one-year deal. So maybe that's a better trade-off there. They added Mac Hollins, who I guess wide receiver three, wide receiver four type, a guy who can get down the field a little bit, but hasn't really done much at the NFL level. Mm-mm. And obviously they still have Hunter Renfrow. So you can kind of see they're gearing up to probably throw the ball a lot more outside. They've been kind of, slot heavy, getting the ball in the middle of the field to Darren Waller, getting the ball to Renfrow. Now they can get the ball outside a little bit more. So they've opened up some opportunities in their passing game, although I think they might have some of the same problems the Chargers had last year at times, where teams can, go with that too high safety look, kind of cover up the defense a little bit and force them to throw the ball underneath. And are they athletic enough or explosive enough to make guys miss in the open field and stretch those 5 and 6 yard passes into 10, 15, 20 yard passes? I think that'll be the question with them. Couple things in their offensive offseason that kind of, I guess, confused me a little bit is their offensive line was awful last year. Mm-hmm. They really did nothing to improve it. They signed a veteran kind of utility offensive linemen, but basically they're rolling into next year with the same offensive line they started in 2021. And that was not a very good group. The only solid offensive lineman they really have is Colton Miller at left tackle, but from left guard to right tackle, they basically have four question marks. So
they did draft Dylan Parham. So there was Dylan Parham,
but I don't think that's enough to really flip that offensive line.
Oh no, definitely not. Group.
And we don't know where they're going to, is he going to be a center? Is he going to be a guard? There's a lot of talk about where he might play. I guess they could move him outside to right tackle. I don't think that'll happen, but so that kind of confused me. You'd think for a team that went out and got Davante Adams and has Derek Carr back there making a ton of money, you'd think they'd want to build that fortress around him like the Chargers did with Herbert, and they really didn't do that. So that surprised me.
Yeah.
The other thing that I had a hard time piecing together was it seemed like they went out and got every running back they can get their hands on this season. I don't understand what the thought process is. You know, you're going into the season, you've already got Josh Jacobs as your RB1. You've already got Kenyon Drake. Now you go out and you add Amir Abdullah, who's done very little over the last few years. You go out and you add Brandon Bolden. You draft two more running backs in Zamir White, and I'm blanking on the other kid's name. They drafted another halfback. But anyway, they're going to camp with like six running backs and no offensive line, which is always a little bit confusing to me. Like, I don't know. I know the Patriots were always multiple and they had different running backs for different sets, but I don't understand kind of hoarding running backs at this point when you have no offensive line. It's kind of like trading up for a running back when you have no offensive line, like Telesco did with Gordon years ago. So I don't get it. That's a little confusing. I guess we'll see. I guess they're going to rotate guys to try to keep them fresh, but didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And the running back you were thinking of was Britton Brown out of UCLA.
Yes. That was the other one.
Never heard of him, but it was a 7th round pick. He was 250 overall. Yeah. Adding Davante Adams definitely helps when you've got a wide receiver like Renfro. It's a huge upgrade, and that offense gets a lot more scary by adding a guy like Adams. For depth wise, they got Keelan Cole, Mac Hollins, also added DeMarcus Robinson. Three guys who haven't really consistently been good in the NFL quite yet, but took flyers on three younger guys to replace Zay Jones there. And then, the offensive line is probably the biggest head scratcher for the Raiders offseason. I felt like they needed to upgrade the secondary, and I guess you could say that getting Rocky Sin is an upgrade. It's better from a year ago, maybe, but Casey Hayward is better than every corner they have on the roster right now, in my mind. And then also offensive line. And to only add Dylan Parham, I think they drafted another tackle, Mumford, I believe.
Yeah,
but I mean, there just isn't any consistency. There's a lot of question marks. And like Jamie mentioned, outside of left tackle, you've got four real big question marks on that offensive line. And when you've got Davante Adams and you just gave Derek Carr a big contract, you want to protect your quarterback. And they didn't do that this offseason. And then to really lean into running back with Kenyon Drake and Brandon Bolden, Amir Abdullah, drafting two running backs. Zamir White was a big kind of hidden gem in this draft for a lot of people. So to have him on there for, I mean, what is that? Running back 6 or 7 and or special teams value. I don't know what they're going to do here. There's just too many bodies to make any sense of it. So yeah, it was a very weird way of going about this offseason at running back, getting Davante Adams. I mean, that's a home run. He's, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, no doubt. And to have him and Renfro side by side is very, very good for this Las Vegas offense. And just to add on a little bit in terms of the offseason, the team declined their 5th-year options on Josh Jacobs, who we mentioned, Jonathan Abram, and Khalil Farrell. So there's three guys that'll be free agents very soon. All guys part of the same draft class that they thought was going to be this home run, face of the cornerstone of the franchise, new edge rusher, running back to carry a franchise, this hard-hitting safety, all of which will probably be with another team next season. So there's been some good moves from the Raiders, some question marks. How do you think they end up doing this season, Jamie? Are they a playoff team? I'll just ask you that. Are they a playoff team?
I'm not sure that they are. I'm going to pull up their schedule here.
Okay. It's going to be hard because really three teams in the AFC West should make the playoffs. Two of those wildcard teams should be in the AFC West. But this division's going to be so competitive that there's going to be some team that's going to probably squeak by because they're going to have an easier schedule and they're not going to have to play these AFC West teams twice a year. So it's probably not going to be two AFC West teams, but it really should be.
Yeah, I think in the wild it's going to be tough to get two AFC West teams in there.
In the wild card, yeah.
They're good enough, but getting two wild cards from one division is always tough.
Yeah.
You know, just looking at their schedule, I have a really hard time seeing them make the playoffs. I think they had a nice run last year. I was a little surprised they didn't give Rich Bisaccia a little bit more of a look as the head coach because he came into a terrible situation last year. They were in complete chaos when he took the team over. And right at the ship, they made a nice late run, got into the playoffs. They were one and done, but that was probably their ceiling last year anyway, just based on what they were and how they were constructed.
Yeah.
I would anticipate some regression this year. I think the AFC West is so much better and more talented as a whole than it was last year. And I think with them installing a new system, they're going to have some of the ups and downs that the Chargers had last year, especially on defense. Maybe not necessarily having all the pieces they need to run the defense the way they want to run it on the back end in particular. I think is going to give them some issues. I would say, you know, you're probably looking at them winning somewhere in the 8 to 10 game range, probably 9 and 8, somewhere in there. They'll win some games. They'll probably win a couple games they shouldn't win, but I think there's a lot of games in there that they're going to really struggle with. You know, Denver is a team that I'm high on this year. I think they're going to give the whole AFC West problems. They've got the Rams that'll give them problems. You know, Belichick will have something dialed up for them on December 18th when they see the Patriots.
Josh McDaniels, yep.
Yep. You got to figure the Steelers are going to be better this year than they were last year. If they're healthy, the Niners are going to be really difficult because of that defensive line and the running game. I would say probably 8 and 9 or 9 and 8 is kind of where I'm pegging the Raiders right now. I don't think they're as good as they looked finishing the season last year. And I think they're going to have some growing pains, probably offensively and defensively, but especially on defense.
Yeah, we kind of mentioned it when we were going over the win-loss predictions. But yes, I am actually with you. I thought you were going to say they were going to make the playoffs. I don't think they make the playoffs either. And I think when you have a new head coach and a new staff, that first half of the season is all kind of learning terminology, figuring each other out, and still trying to gel. And I think they don't have the time to lose a couple games here or there. They have to come out and be strong the entire season just because of how good this AFC West team is. They're going to get beat on late if they lose games early. So I just think that they're going to be a team that's going to finish third in this division, and I do not think they make the playoffs. I think with a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and head coach, with as chaotic as Josh McDaniels has made everything else throughout his career, I just don't see him having a firm plan and the Raiders just jump out of the gates being good right away. I just don't see that happening. So I'm with you. I was going to say 9 wins as well. So this is a very, very, very interesting prediction here for the Raiders.
Yeah, just look at the way they opened the season. Hosting the Cardinals in Tennessee, hosting Denver, and in Kansas City. That's three road games against, I mean, they're going to travel well, and they'll probably have tons of fans at SoFi. But still, that's three tough road games against three really good teams, all teams that figure to be in the playoffs. And then Arizona always starts hot.
Yep.
And Tennessee is going to run the ball right down their throat because that's what they always do. Mm-hmm. So I think I would not surprise me at all to see them start 1-4, 0-5 with that schedule. I just think they're going to run into some buzzsaws there early.
Yep.
And then they'll probably build some momentum in the middle of the season. And then they finish with the Chargers, the Rams, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Niners, and the Chiefs. So that's not a great. And you can even throw, you can from week 10 to week 18, it's Indy, Denver, Seattle, Chargers, Rams, Patriots, Steelers, Niners, Chiefs.
Damn, they run the gauntlet there at the end of the year.
Yeah. So five tough games. Then they have three games that they should win. Then there's eight games mixed in there that are going to be a nightmare. And their bye is week 6. So they get their bye early. right after that tough 5-week stretch, and they go right into like a gauntlet for almost 8 straight weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. We might be a little high. It might be 8 wins.
It could be anywhere from 7 to 10.
Yeah. All right. Great. All right. Well, that does it. That's the preview of the Raiders. We got the Chiefs coming up next, and then we'll finish with the Broncos. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate everybody listening. And I'm at Garrett Sisti, and Jamie's at Lightning_Round. Thanks, everybody.
You stole my line again.
God! Dang it!